الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على حي على الفلاح حي على
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قالوا ربنا غلبت علينا شقوتنا وكنا قوما ضالين ربنا أخرجنا منها فإن عدنا فإنا ظالمون قال اخسؤوا فيها ولا تكلمون إنه كان فريق من عبادي يقولون ربنا آمنا فاغفر لنا وارحمنا وأنت خير الراحمين فاتخذتموهم سخريا حتى أنسوكم ذكري وكنتم منهم تضحكون إني جزيتهم اليوم بما صبروا أنهم هم الفائزون
In the previous week's Friday sermon,
گزشتہ جمعہ کے خطبے میں میں نے
extracts of the Holy Promised Messiah, on whom be peace. I read those extracts at the outset of the sermon. I expounded what actually prayer is and how tranquility and peace can be acquired from prayer. I explained the philosophy of prayer and how prayer should be supplicated for. In other words, what the standard of prayer actually is, which a mu'min, a believer, should adopt. In essence, this spirit and philosophy of prayer is expounded in the Holy Quran itself. The promised Messiah alayhi salam obtained knowledge from Allah the Almighty and it to us clearly. Regarding this, with regards to this, there are other words and statements of the promised Messiah alayhi salam which are very brief and short. However, to know the essence of prayer and the reality of prayer and what its etiquettes and manners are, by implementing which a person can obtain nearness to Allah. When one does so, he becomes one who understands the reality of prayer. In one of his gatherings, the promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, in order for your prayer to be accepted, it is also necessary that a person should inculcate pious reformation from within. If he cannot be saved from vices and he breaks the limits set by Allah the Almighty, then there will be no impact of such a prayer. Then the Hadhrat Promised Messiah alayhi salam said on another occasion, in order to establish a connection with Allah the Almighty, it is necessary to completely absorb yourself in that prayer. I inculcate the Jamaat again and again to be established upon this point, because until you cut yourself off from the world and the love of the cools in your heart, and within your nature you have a natural passion and state of engrossment, until then you cannot have that prayer accepted. In other words, it is that natural passion and zeal from within at the time of supplication which establishes a connection between man and God and goes on strengthening that relationship. Thus, in order to establish that natural passion and in order to completely have your attention towards Allah the Almighty, we would need to make strenuous efforts. Then the promised Messiah on whom be peace has said, that spirit of prayer which is done with the focus on Allah the Almighty brings about extraordinary changes. However, it should be borne in mind that in the prayer, it is Allah the Almighty who will bring about its acceptance. And even for the prayer, there is a time. For example, there is an allotted time in the at the time especially, or that time is special, which is not found at other times. In the same way, there are different times for supplication. At such times, the impact and effect of the prayer is greater. A person who carries out tasks when fresh, the ensuing results will be excellent. Unlike such people today, who stay awake all night or stay awake till late, either on the internet or watching the television. Or they stay awake all night absorbed in other worldly matters. By the morning they have not had a full sleep because they had not slept fully at night. They wake up in the morning half asleep and they are not able to wake up properly. In such a state, what kind of prayer will be offered? What blessings will there be in other work? Every single person, whether he is a worldly person, in order for his work to be excellent, ensures that he is fresh. This is so that the work can be carried out with full attention and that excellent results can emanate from that endeavor. Thus the promised Messiah alayhi salam has said, you should also search for the best times of supplicating and how that state is developed in those certain times. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam has stated that it is the mercy of Allah upon such a person who in a state of peace and contentment fears Allah in the same way he would do so in a state of tribulation and difficulty. That person who does not forget Allah in ordinary times of contentment, Allah does not forget him when he is in distress. A person who in a state of contentment takes it easy and relaxes, and then in a time of distress he only prays then. The prayers of such a person are not accepted. When the divine punishment descends, the door of forgiveness closes. Thus, is it not better that before the divine punishment descends, a person remains engaged in prayers, gives sadaqah, and he strives to perform the commands that Allah the Almighty has ordained us to perform. And he does so with full regard and etiquette and respect. And he loves and shows compassion to the creation of He caters for his actions and performs them properly. This is the sign of blessings. A tree is recognized by its fruits. In the same way, it is easy to identify the blessed or the good from the suspicious. This means that the pious actions of a righteous person is like that fruit which is sweet and delightful, seeing which or tasting which everyone would say that this is a sweet and delightful fruit-giving tree. The suspicious is that wretched person whose actions are neither such that they fulfill the right of Allah, nor do they fulfill the right of Allah's servants. As such, this is a tree which has bitter and smelly fruits. So thus, these are but a few extracts that I have presented, and I have done so for the reason that we can have further knowledge and insight into how to establish a connection with God. I have done so that we can learn the manners and etiquettes of how to perform prayers and supplication. I have done so that we can have our attentions drawn towards self-reformation. We can distinguish between good and bad, and we can be inclined towards performing amal-e saliha, righteous deeds. It is so that we adopt the right manner of prayer and that our focus arc firmly upon supplication. This is also so that we can be counted amongst those people who take share of the hasana, the good of this world, and also take share of the hasana, the good of the world to come. This is also so that in trying to acquire personal and jamaat objectives, we can receive the blessings of Allah. Thus, this is that most crucial subject matter which such a Muslim who has believed in the ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such a person who has acquired the good fortune and blessing of coming into the Pledge of Allegiance and initiation of the Imam of the time. Such a person must endeavor to understand these points and act upon them. This is so that there can be a difference between one who believes and one who only claims to have belief. It should be evident who a true mu'min, a true believer is, and who only just claims to be a true believer. In numerous places in the Holy Quran, light has been shed upon the subject matter of prayer. It is essential that we should comprehend these matters. As I stated, in order for this to be possible, we need to look at the Quran from the viewpoint of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. This is for the reason that we can understand the essence, the philosophy, and the manners and etiquettes of prayer, and thus subsequently, our attention should be drawn towards prayer. Furthermore, not only should our attentions be drawn towards prayer, but we should endeavor to have the maximum results obtained from the prayer. We should pray in such a manner which brings about actual results, because without this, life is meaningless. Prayers which bring about results are essential for a person's life to be catered for. Allah the Almighty does not need this. Allah the Almighty does not require us to worship Him, or whether we ask Him something or not is irrespective to God. We should pray in accordance with the commands of Allah. And we should pray a prayer which brings about fruits, and this is essential only for us. It is not needed by God, because God is bi-niyaz. He is without any need. This is why Allah the Almighty has stated, and He said to the Holy Prophet ﷺ to proclaim this. قُلْ مَا يَعْبُو بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. In other words, say to the disbelievers, but for your prayers to Him, my Lord will not care for you. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says that a true worshipper is he who gives benefit to others. However, there are other underlying meanings in this, which he has expounded. In other words, it says that say to those people, if you do not supplicate to the Rabb, to the Allah, to the Lord, why will my Lord have any concern for you? Or His promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says that this can be explained in other words, that Allah has regard for the true worshipper. He cares for those who worship Him. Thus, if you desire to establish a connection with Allah, if you desire for your pious intentions to be achieved, if you want to see the opponents defeated, then We must give attention towards becoming an abid, a worshipper, and we need to focus on becoming a true worshipper. May Allah, the Almighty, enable every single one amongst us to become a true abid, a true worshipper, and may we inculcate this required spirit. This is so that we can see the sorry end of the detractors. Those people's hearts who are filled with enmity, rancor, and malice against the Promised Messiah to such an extent that it reaches beyond all bounds. This is particularly true in Pakistan and also in certain regions of India. Or under the influence of such persons in small vicinities of Africa, this is also seen. They are performing every type of vulgar act. At the forefront of such things are the mullah and so-called clergy of Pakistan. They leave no opportunity to go to waste to say and do the most disgraceful and indecent things against the Holy Promised Messiah and the Jamaat. They look for opportunities to injure the hearts of Ahmadis. Ahmadis have that connection of love with the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, because the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, was the greatest ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the crime of Ahmadis. Ahmadis have this connection of loyalty, they have this bond of love for the reason that true affection of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this era was inculcated within us by the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. The reason why we have this bond of love with the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, because he gave us true understanding and insight of true Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. Thus, those people who out of enmity of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam are exceeding all bounds. They are actually competing with the ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the one who calls out for the oneness of Allah the Almighty to be established. They are competing with such a person who Allah the Almighty has true regard for. As the Promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, Allah the Almighty has regard for an abid, for a worshipper. In this era, there is no, or there was no, bigger abid or worshipper of Allah than the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. In the past, we have also witnessed the sorry end of all the detractors. Today also, we witness in Pakistan where there are many such incidents which have occurred and are taking place. Those who were verbally abusive and uttered profanities against the Promised Messiah were chastised by Allah the Almighty in such a manner that, most certainly, that was a lesson or a sign of warning for many a people. People who observe in Pakistan can see. I do not give specific names of places where such incidents have occurred. To those who carried out such profanities and indecencies, Allah the Almighty sees them. There are people who have perpetrated these profanities on different levels, self-righteous persons who, as a result of some accusation or the other, rather not only just an accusation, but as a result of some crime, their own people, who consider them to be very saintly people, disgraced and expelled them from the area. Or what has also happened with such people is that Allah the Almighty in some other manner has manifested their disgrace. Whilst this caused embarrassment to their followers, this strengthened the faith of Ahmadis. These people have raised such indecent accusations against the promised Messiah alayhi salam that some people write to me about incidents, some of which have also been reported in the newspapers. And they mention such things which I cannot even repeat here. How obscene is their way of thinking and how obscene are their acts. And this is actually because of their enmity with the Imam of the time. The majority of the public are either indifferent, this is in Pakistan, or are fearful. This is also true in parts of India. Observing all of this, they still do not derive any lesson. That those so-called lovers of Islam who are being disgraced and humiliated are humiliated as a result of their enmity against a selected one of Allah. If one deeply reflects, then it can be deciphered that this was the reason of their sign of being a lesson. As I stated, sometimes there are enmities which emanate from parts of Africa. When Muslims see this disgraceful state of the ulama, the Muslim clergy, then their attention is drawn towards Ahmadiyyat. In many such areas, this was the reason why Ahmadiyyat spread in Africa. They at least have the courage and bravery that they take lesson from the bad acts of these Muslim clergy and they look for the truth. But in any case, what I would like to say to the Ahmadis is that do not be perturbed and worried by the mischievous and indecent acts of the detractors to Ahmadiyyat. Recently, somebody wrote to me from Pakistan that in my area, there is so much opposition against Ahmadiyyat and it is so ferociously against the Jamaat that the detractors are performing every type of vile and vulgar act. They distort the picture of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Or they extremely defame or deface the image of the promised Messiah alayhi salam and are causing our hearts to tear apart. And they cannot tolerate for this to occur. It seems like their hearts are going to burst. Such obscene posters are being placed by those people on the walls that now even some sincere and decent people, non-Ahmadis, from their wall have taken off these posters and they say that you have reached beyond all bounds. So this person wrote to me that seeing this spontaneously I start crying and weeping and screaming. So then I replied to him that you should move forward with prayers and patience. When the detractors increase in their clamor and enmity, thereafter we have obtained a lesson to efface ourselves in God. This is why we need to keep this lesson in view at all times and we need to strive to pray. There is a lesson here for us to absorb and completely efface ourselves in Allah and to supplicate to Him. Such people are actually inviting their own death. Those who attempt to disgrace the chosen ones of Allah have always been destroyed. If these people do not desist from their acts, then just like the prayers were instigated against Likram, it will also come down upon such people. Thus, your agonies, your suffering, your screams should be submitted before Allah the Almighty. May Allah the Almighty bring about a sign of His giving lesson. The promised Messiah alayhi salam in one gathering, which was in April 1904, stated, I was praying for the members of my Jamaat and then for Qadian when the revelation came to me. They have drawn away from the fashion of life. Wasahih kum tasika. Then grind them down a fine grinding. I wondered why the act of grinding has been attributed to me. Then I looked at the prayer which is written on the wall of the Baitul Dua, which is as follows, Ya Rabbi Fasma Du'ai, Mamazik Ada'ika Wa Ada'i, وأنجز وعدك وانصر عبدك وأرنا أيامك وشحر لنا حسامك ولا تذر من الكافرين شريرا. In other words, O Lord, hear my prayer and crush your enemies and my enemies and fulfill your promise and help your servant and show us your days and sharpen for us your sword and spare not a single mischief maker out of the disbelievers. There are many people who reject, but there are many who reject who in their evils have reached all limits. So this prayer applies to them. The promised Messiah said, taking this revelation and this prayer together, I understood that it was a time for the acceptance of my prayer. Then he said, it has ever been the way of Allah that those who obstruct His sent ones are removed by Him. These are the days of Allah's abundant grace. Observing how He has manifesting all these things, one's faith and certainty in the existence of God Almighty are strengthened. Today also, such signs are also being shown to the promised Messiah alayhi salam. On the one hand are these people who verbally abuse us, and on the other hand is our progress. There may indeed be many decent and sincere people, as I have already mentioned, who remove these vulgar posters from the walls outside their home. However, the majority are such who have a voiceless decency. As Hazrat Khalifa Masih III used to say, they have decency, but it is silent. It does not speak out. However, an educated group of persons who write in English newspapers have now started raising a voice against its cruelty, which is beyond all limits. In any case, in order to save the country, we also should recite this prayer which he was received by way of revelation by the promised Messiah alayhi salam. This is so that the sincere people can be saved from the evil of those evil mongers, and also, so most of all, Ahmadis can be saved from such persons. Thus, as I stated, every Ahmadi, with prayer and with patience, should lead his lives in this manner and should do so to a greater extent than before. In some cities, in some regions, these evil mongers do carry out their schemes against Ahmadis. However, our Lord is Khairul Makirin. He is the one who will rebound the schemes upon them, and He is already doing so. It is Allah the Almighty who up till now has saved us from their dangerous schemes. Thus, never let go of the mantle of Allah. As I stated, that I have previously already inculcated the Jamaat towards this, that you need to carry out your acts in accordance with the commands of Allah, and all together, as a community, we must submit to Allah, and if we do so, a revolution can be brought about in a very short period of time. We must constantly go on giving attention towards prayer. And with regards to this, the Holy Promised Messiah alayhi salam said, during the interval between his application and his acceptance, one is often subjected to trial after trial, some of which are back-breaking. A persevering and good-natured supplicant, however, smells the perfume of the favors of his Lord even in these trials and difficulties, and his intelligence informs him that they will be followed by help. One aspect of these trials is that they foster eagerness for prayer. The greater the distress of the supplicant, the more his soul will be melted. This is one of the factors in the acceptance of prayers. So one should not lose heart and should not think ill of God through impatience and restlessness. One should never think that one's prayer is not accepted or will not be accepted. Such a notion is a denial of the attribute of God that He accepts prayers. In other words, that this attribute of Allah accepting prayers is present. But if a person thinks that the prayers will not be accepted, then he is rejecting that attribute of Allah unconsciously. Thus, it is our duty to bring about steadfastness and resolve within us. We need to give attention towards prayers with those stipulations and conditions, a few of which I have already expounded in light of the extracts of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. We need to always be firm upon this conviction that Allah's word can never be wrong. As the Almighty states, "Ajib da'wat da'i idha da'an," that ask for prayers with the conditions of prayers, and then I will answer that prayer. So if this is so, there is no reason for us to ever be frustrated. Indeed, Allah the Almighty has appointed a time for the acceptance of prayer. When every trial leads us to submit further to Allah the Almighty, then inshallah, the prayer will be accepted. I shall present another statement of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. In another extract of the promised Messiah, he says, "No person can ever obtain blessings from Allah until he shows the greatest amount of patience, until he prays with great resoluteness. He should never think ill or bad of Allah. Consider him to be the master of all powers and everything. Show patience and pray in this manner. There will be a time that will come when Allah will accept his prayers and respond to him. A person who seeks help in this manner can never be devoid of blessings. In fact, he will always be successful in achieving his aims. There are countless powers and blessings of Allah. He has set about a law for man to be patient for a long period of time. Thus, he does not change this law. If a person desires for this law to be changed for him, he is actually being brazen and doing something against the etiquettes of Allah. It is seen that some people are impatient and they desire for everything to happen immediately. I say that if someone demonstrates impatience, that will have no effect upon Allah, he will only harm himself. He can try being impatient and see where it takes him. He said, "Look, the beloved son of Hadrat Yaqub, Hadrat Yusuf alayhi salam, when as a result of the mischievousness of the brothers was separated, then the father prayed for 40 days for him. If he had done things in a hurried manner, no results would have emanated. He kept on praying for 40 days, and then he had faith in the powers of Allah. Finally, after 40 days, it was those prayers that drew Hadrat Yusuf. During this time, some people who were to reproach said that you meaninglessly remember Yusuf. However, he replied that I know from God what you are not aware of. Perhaps he did not have any news, but he stated, 'Inni la ajidu riha Yusufa,' surely I feel the scent of Yusuf." Previously, it seemed that the period of prayer was long. If Allah the Almighty wanted him to be deprived of prayer, he would have given him an answer quickly. However, the long period between the fulfillment of his prayer was an indication to going to be accepted, because someone kind never leaves a beggar empty-handed. In fact, even a niggardly person does not leave a beggar to go whether he has waited for a long in the end, gives him something or the other. Hazur says that our prayers, our passion of the heart and our heart being torn apart is not because of any cruelty or injustice against our persons, but in fact it is because we are targets of that cruelty and wrongdoing. Or we are becoming targets of such injustices and persecution, which is purely because of us accepting the Imam of the time. We are becoming targets of this cruelty because in this era we have accepted the chosen and beloved one of God. Thus, it is without any doubt that we tolerate all of this as a result of our love for God. If we tolerate this as a result of God, then there is no doubt that He will accept our prayers. And He does accept our prayers. The progress of the Jamaat Ahmadiyya is clear-cut proof that Allah the Almighty is with us. As I stated, the schemes of the detractors are extremely ferocious. It is the blessings and mercy of Allah the Almighty upon us. It is the promises that Allah made to the promised Messiah alayhi salam. And in order to strengthen our faith and conviction, Allah the Almighty is manifesting these signs to us. He is shattering the schemes of the detractors in many places, and this is not only in Pakistan. There is enmity against the Jamaat in many countries. However, the progress of the Jamaat does not slacken. When I went to the European Parliament, there was a journalist from a newspaper said that comparison to the Muslims, what is your significance and how many are you? Where do you place yourselves? So then I realized that after asking the reality of the numbers, he is then going to ask that peace-loving teachings that you promote in the world and which you desire to propagate, you have so small numbers. So then what significance does that leave of yours? So thus, I immediately recalled the answer of Hazrat Khalifa Masih III in response to a European press journalist upon his question that how many numbers are you? Hazrat Khalifa Masih III said, 93 years before, the person who was one is now near 1 million. So you can calculate how many we will be in the following years. So thus, this is what I also said. 123 years have passed of the Jamaat, and with the grace of the Almighty Allah, we are in tens of millions. That time is also drawing near, when we will be seen by the world as a Jamaat with impact. Thus, when I gave this response and I said that I believe this was your actual question, are you satisfied? He said, yes, this was in my mind. However, we should also bear in mind that our impact is not for the reason of acquiring any worldly objectives, but rather it is to establish the governance of Allah in the world, to establish love and affection in the world. Thus, there is no need whatsoever to become perturbed or concerned in any manner that the persecution of the detractors may hinder us from our work or become an obstacle in our progress. It is Allah the Almighty who is already manifesting progress upon us. Not only is He demonstrating this progress to us, but in fact, in lives to come, to those who establish a loving connection with Him, and depicting this state, He has also given us a means of tranquility of our heart. The verses that I recited at the outset depicts this very condition. It says in this verse, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا شِكْوَتُنَا وَكُنَّا قَوْمًا ظَالِينَ, that they will say, that is the detractors, our Lord, our wickedness overcame us, and we were an erring people. رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْهَا فَإِنْ أُلْدُنَا فِنَّا ظَالِمُونَ, that our Lord, take us out of this hell or punishment, then if we return to disobedience, we shall indeed be wrongdoers. قَالَ أَخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ, that God will say, away with you, despise therein, and speak not unto me. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَرِيكٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِي يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَرْحَمْنَا وَأَنْتَ غَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ, that surely there was a party from among my servants who said, our Lord, we believe, forgive us therefore our sins, and have mercy upon us, for thou art the best of those who show mercy. فَاتَّخَذْتُمُوهُمْ سِخْرِيًا حَتَّى أَنْسَوْكُمْ ذِكْرِي وَكُنْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ تَزْحَكُونَ, but you made them a laughingstock until they became the cause of your forgetting my remembrance while you continued laughing at them. إِنِّي جَزَيْتُهُمْ الْيَوْمَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا أَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْفَائِذُونَ, surely I have rewarded them this day for their steadfastness, so that they alone have triumphed. Thus, this is the end of those who demonstrate enmity, that when they enter into the hereafter and the reality manifests upon them, they will say, it is our misfortune that drew us here. So thus, our Lord allow us to come out of that, and we will never disobey again. And if we do, we will be an erring people. Then Allah will say that this is not my way or my law. He will say, away with you, despise therein, because you will have the abode of hell where you should enter. Now I will not listen to any plea or cry from you. So thus, if Allah was to listen to these cries and supplications, then He listens to those who perform pious deeds in this life, not those people who perform wrong acts and then in the hereafter say these things. Thus, this is how Allah, do you explain, is the treatment of such people who show enmity to His chosen people. That Allah, who is always waiting for His servant to forgive, to ask for forgiveness, will say that now the time has passed. Here or in the hereafter, you will receive the reward for what you did in this life. That the manner in which you tore upon the hearts of my servants, the manner in which you showed wrongdoing and injustice to those who submitted to me and wanted to establish my oneness. And the way you treated those people who wanted to further my work, and the manner in which you placed obstacles in their endeavors. Not only did you prevent other people from listening to them, but in fact you went to the heights of injustice. You made a target of mockery and ridicule the people who recite my kalama, and you also played with their blood. So now what forgiveness are you asking for? Today nothing will be heard from you. Go and remain in that abode of hell. Allah the Almighty will then say, that those people who believed in my chosen one, they are only worthy of my mercy being shown upon them, that I should listen to what they have to say, and I should give them room in the blessings of paradise. As a reward for the injustices perpetrated upon them this life, they will see with eyes of love in the world to come. Their reward from this life will be multiplied manifold in the life to come. Allah the Almighty will say, O those people who perpetrated cruelties upon my servants, has caused you to be blind in your ridicule against them to such an extent that you have become negligent of even remembering me. You have forgotten my command that to kill and cause harm to the believers will lead you into the fire of hell. So thus you have forgotten this pledge that you will discharge the rights due to Allah and mankind. But you have forgotten this. So thus when you are forgetting the commands of Allah, when you are negligent of remembering Him, when, according to your own wish and desire, you break the commands of Allah, so thus Allah will say, there is no connection left between you and I. You looted the possessions and properties of the believers. You burnt them. You captured and seized them. You endeavored to cause harm and damage to their business and trade. If it was a joint endeavor or business, then you took all the money. In short, there is a long list of crimes that you performed. So thus, Allah will say, all that is decreed for you now is hell, which has been mentioned as a command of Allah. Do not even speak to me about showing compassion or gentleness. Then, regarding those who believe and who beg for mercy and compassion, Allah the Almighty will say, I have rewarded them this day for their steadfastness, and as a result of their connection with me, and as a result of submitting to me, as a result of bonding with me, are being counted among such people who triumphed. And they will become the recipient of the love of Allah. They are those who will receive the mercy and forgiveness of Allah. Thus, this is the difference between a believer and a non-believer in accordance with the light, in light of these verses. May Allah the Almighty enable us to be counted amongst those who receive forgiveness and blessings. May Allah the Almighty overlook all our errors and faults. And may we with steadfastness always be inclined towards prayer. And may we always be counted amongst those who obtain blessings.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.